Today we're going to be continuing our series, our look into this series that is called Walk by Faith. A series that stemmed from the theme of the United Methodist Annual Conference of South Carolina. The South Carolina United Methodist Annual Conference this year, the theme was Walk by Faith. Challenging the laity there, challenging the clergy, challenging the churches to dream such big dreams, to try to accomplish such great things for Christ, that it would take our faith to take the next step, that God would have to be involved because our dreams were so bold. And so we've looked at a lot of different things. We looked the first week and we addressed the question, how are we walking? Are we walking by sight? Are we walking by faith? And how Jesus has reached out and touched some of us and the man in the story multiple times so that we can see clearly again. Then we asked, are you a hearer or a doer, a wise or a foolish builder? What are you building your foundation of your life on? And then we looked at, with Vacation Bible School, what light are you following? The light of Christ, the true light that leads to eternal life, or the lights of the world. Last week we looked at, are you living free? And how it takes faith to let go of those chains. And I don't know, I don't want to speak for you, but I know about, for the chains that I laid on the altar last week, the enemy certainly tried to remind me of them this week. And luckily I had somebody that loved me enough and they spoke truth to my life that you left them there, don't pick them up. And so I don't know about you, but when we try to let go of things, the devil tries to bring them back in our hearts and our minds. So at least for this week, I was semi-successful thanks to the accountability that I had and a friend of mine. Today we're going to look at a question I've already asked the kids. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? It's a question that's been burning in my heart for the last several weeks when looking at our church, when preparing for Forward Focus. And I saw it more of a church question than I did an individual question. And then as the last two or three weeks maybe have unfolded, it became a personal question in my life. God really asking me, Andrew, do you really want to be made well? And so that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to be in the Gospel of John. We're going to be in the fifth chapter. You can find it on page 866 in the Pew Bibles. But if you're in your own Bible or a device, will be in John 5. I do invite you, if you can and are able, to stand in reverence and in honor of the reading of the gospel lesson this morning. Chapter 5, starting with verse 1. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew, Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." And at once the man was made well, and he took up his mat, and he began to walk. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? It's a pretty straightforward question that Jesus asked this man. Do you want to be made well? So I joked with the kids earlier about the world record, and I actually looked this up, but this is ridiculous, y'all. Here's the rules if you want to make the Guinness Book of World Records for being motionless. The record is for continuously standing motionless. You must stand. Sitting is not allowed. No facial movements are allowed other than the involuntary blinking of your eyes. Deep breathing is permitted provided it does not involve observable movement notable, greater than that, and normal breathing. No rest breaks are allowed at any point during the event, and the venue for such event should be such that the general public can view it. The first recorded record was in 1967, 4 hours and 30 minutes. The latest record in 2003, 30 hours and 12 minutes of being motionless. It said the same guy tried to break his own record and he went for 37 hours, but they couldn't count it because he was interrupted because he got bit by an insect. There's that. But I don't know about you, but 30 hours, 12 minutes. I can't even handle sitting in traffic for 30 seconds without moving. If a red light lasts 30 seconds longer than I think it should, I'm ready to get out and start walking. Don't be pointing at people. Have you ever felt motionless, though? Not physically, but maybe emotionally or spiritually motionless. Stuck, maybe is a better word. Because something happened in life that maybe you didn't want to happen. Because of your current circumstances or because of the way something played out or maybe even because somebody did something to you. If you answered yes to any of that in your heart, then this is your story today. Do you have a pool of hope in your life that if you can just achieve this one thing or get this one thing, you will be made whole? If so, then this is your story. Do you have a pool in your life that you hope will break the cycle of sin or temptation or addiction that nobody else knows about? And this is your story. Do you have a pool in your life that you've placed all your trust in? And because of that, you've become deaf to the words of Jesus. And this is your story. And if you're sitting there today saying, well, none of that applies to me, it's not my story, then if you were prideful, this is your story. This question, do you want to be made well, like I said, has been burning in my heart. For our church, for me, and I figure if it applies to our church and to me, it might apply to a few of you. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. We're not told necessarily what festival they're going to, but we know that they have these three big festivals they travel to. And so Jesus is on his way there, and they come up to this pool. And there's a man. There's a man laying there who's been ill. We don't know what the illness is. Most assume some type of paralysis, but the scripture doesn't say that, and it even alludes that maybe that wasn't it, but it could have been something else. Some illness this man had that kept him from getting into the water. And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but John chapter 5 and some of the older translations, including the one I read out of today, does not have a verse 4. You can go back and double check me because I now know you're curious. It goes verse 3, verse 5. It's because verse 4 was actually added in later so that it could explain why getting in the water was important, because they believed this water got stirred up when angels came down, and the first one in would then be healed by the power of the angels. And so somebody said, well, look, that context is not included. We need to put it in. So my Bible literally does not have a John chapter 5, verse 4. Some of yours may, and that's fine, but that just means that it was added in at a different time. But this man is laying there, and Jesus sees him, and Jesus instantly has compassion on him like he normally does. But something's different about this miracle. Most miracles in Scripture, somebody cries out to Jesus, somebody chases after him, even follows him into a house, or reaches out and touches him, or comes through the roof, or does something dramatic to get Jesus' attention. This man's just lying there, and Jesus speaks to him. I find it so comforting that sometimes even when we're not seeking Jesus, he's seeking us. That sometimes even when we're not seeking to walk in the will of God, that God's love and grace is still following and seeking after us. So Jesus says, do you want to be made well? Now put yourself in that man's shoes for a minute. Imagine going to the doctor's office today, being sick, and the doctor saying, do you want me to make you better? Yeah, that's why I'm here. But the man's answer is obviously going to be yes. But the man doesn't answer yes, does he? He's what theologians saw, they say he gives a yes but answer. Y'all know what I mean by yes but answer? My 7-year-old has learned the yes but answer. And I'm so sick of yes but. And it's just ironic that this has been the topic of our house this week. No more yes, comma, but. It's yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, period. You need to learn your punctuation mark. It's what we used to tell our baseball players. You put a comma where there's supposed to be a period. There's no discussion. But dad, you don't understand. And that's what this man does without saying yes, but. He tells Jesus, well, sir, I don't have any way to get in the water. He just starts making excuses. See, every time I try, people get in front of me. They beat me to it. It's just not, I can't do it. He's even kind of in a way like alluding to Jesus, hey, won't you pick me up and drop me in? He doesn't say that, but obviously that's what he wants Jesus to do. Pick me up and skip the line and drop me in front of everybody. Then I can be made well. But Jesus does all Jesus needs to do. He gives him 3 commands. Stand up. Take your mat. And walk. And instantly the man is made well. Jesus gives us the same commands in our faith. If we're going to walk by faith as individuals and as a church, Jesus is going to say, stand up, take your mat, and walk. It doesn't matter that you've been laying there for 38 years. It doesn't matter that it's been happening this way for X number of years. What matters is I have the authority and the power to heal you with my words. Can you imagine the fear that man had when he stood up? This ain't going to work, but it's worth a try. And then he's made well. The story doesn't even end there. When you've been made well, when you've had an encounter with Christ, when you're ready and willing to go deeper, you're going to run into opposition. Have y'all learned that? You're going to run into opposition even within the church. The scripture lesson continues, and I put the verses in there so you can continue reading yourself. But it says, he ran into the Jews. Now, he's not talking about ethnically. He's talking about the authorities. And they start fussing at him because he's carrying his mat on the Sabbath. And he's like, well, I just did what the man that healed me told me to do. He made me better, so I just did what he told me to do. And then I find it so beautiful that later it says, Jesus found him in the temple. Isn't that where the man should have been? In the temple. He probably had people he wanted to go tell and show off that he was better, but instead of doing all that, he went to give thanks and praise to God that he had been made well. And Jesus warns him at the temple. He says, sin no more so that something worse doesn't happen to you. Now, what could be worse than being ill for 38 years? Not having an internal relationship with God. Not living in heaven in the joy and the presence and the power of God, the Father. That's what could be worse. But I think sometimes we get so stuck on our yes buts. Do you want to be made well? Yes, but if I'm going to be honest, I actually like the attention I get when I feel sorry for myself. And so if you make me well, then I won't get that attention from other people. Do you want to be made well? Yeah, but man, that means I'm going to have to give up some things or reprioritize some things in my life. And I don't know if I really want to do that. Church, do you want to be made well? Yeah, but only if it fits into this box. Now, we can't be getting out of that because that's the way we do things. But Jesus wants to know, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made completely well? No yes buts. No excuses. Because the power of God is so powerful, all he has to do is say, Emmanuel United Methodist Church, Andrew, stand up. Take your mat and walk by faith. because it's our yes buts when we walk by sight, because we start looking at everything. I shared with the Sunday school, and I wasn't going to share this with y'all, but it's only fair. We've reached a point in the growth of our church where we've got to make some decisions. That's what this whole forward focus thing's been about. Those of you that were here last time, you realize that we identified there is a gap in our children, middle school and high school age kids. He's got a ton of kids under the age of 10, but we don't have a whole lot of middle school and high school age kids. And the question is, well, do we want more kids? Do we want to be made well in that area? Well, obviously our answer is yes, but preacher, do you realize how hard it is to start when there's no kids here? We only have like two. We started in 2015. We started Bible study somewhere around October or November. We started a children's ministry with two kids. Some of y'all didn't even realize that, but we had Bible study for two kids. Two. And the reason we did that was so their parents could attend Bible study. Or lead Bible study. Because one of them was ours. But y'all, we started with two children. And it's summertime and numbers are down, and I get all that. But on any given Sunday, we could have 15 to 20 kids under the age of 10 here. There's no yes buts. My heart broke last week when I was in Kentucky, or whenever it was 2 weeks ago, and I was talking to some colleagues or some classmates, and said, well, what are you doing with your youth? And they said, I don't have any. I got two. And he said, well, start it with the two and trust God to grow it. And then I said, well, that's what we did with the kids. That's what we did with the kids. We took a step so bold in faith that God said, you want kids, I'll send you kids. And that water fountain just keeps producing more and more. And it's not just the youth. Y'all know my passion for kids because of my background, but what is it in your life? What is it in my life? What is it in the life of this church that we really want to be made well with? But it's going to take a step of faith, and we're going to have to just give up on seeing the next step. It might be that we're stepping out into darkness and have no idea, but man, when we put our foot down, Christ the solid rock was there. And the next thing you know, this place will need a new policy for how to supervise teenage boys and girls at the same time. But so many times we get caught up in, and I'm rambling, I know I am, I don't care. We get caught up so much in walking by sight that we answer yes but to everything God wants to do in our lives and in our church. Yes but that costs money. Yes but this. Yes but that. Yes church, but God, who is rich in mercy, has already blessed us so much that why would we not trust him more than we trusted him 2 years ago? I love this story. It's full of grace. Y'all know I'm going to tell you the three types of grace that were in there now, don't you? There's prevenient grace. The grace that comes before. The man didn't ask Jesus to heal him. Jesus went up to him. God comes into our lives, and he seeks us because he loves us. There's justifying grace. I'm getting there. Because Jesus actually makes him well. He makes him right again. But then Jesus loves him enough to warn him in the temple. And there's the sanctifying grace of God. And he says, don't go back. Don't sin. Don't fall into this pattern. Don't take what I've done and misuse it, because something worse will happen. See, God's grace is everywhere. We can trust it. But he's calling us to jump. He's calling us to leap. He's calling us to take a step where we can't see as a church. How many of you tried to fly at some point in your life? Now, don't lie. Not like in an airplane, like you, Tim, me and you. I really believed at one point if I jumped off something and flapped my arms hard enough, I could fly. The birds did it. Yeah. It didn't work for you, did it? It didn't work for me either. But I do believe as a church, as an individual, as somebody who wants to grow deeper in their walk with Christ, if we'll just jump off the ledge, we'll fly. We'll mount up with wings like eagles. And we'll soar. This man eventually goes back to the Jews, and they said, Who did it? He said, it was Jesus. That's what our answer should be when somebody says, who did all that at your church? Who gave you peace in that situation in your life where there was no peace? Who helped you trust when you couldn't see? It was Jesus. It was my Savior. It's the best evangelism we could have, is just to tell somebody what Christ has done in our lives. We better pray. Yeah. All right. Let's pray.